Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Omar Calderon and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture your soul. This week, they focus on their third principle of listening prayer, spiritual cleansing from God. This conversation was originally recorded in June of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice at you. So, welcome. We are in weekly meditations. This is a space that is offered by faith walking. We are trying to explore those things that are helpful to nurture our souls. We started this with all the pandemic, but it has continued, and I think it's a very helpful topic to keep learning. We are on our series about listening God to prayer, and Omar Calderon from Truth of Life Ministries is sharing with us. This is the third of four sessions. We have one more after this one, but without more introductions, Omar, would you lead us, guide us?
Yes, well, thank you very much. Today we are already in our third Bible study, our third meeting out of four, and today we're gonna focus on something beautiful that is a spiritual cleansing from God. And we're going to focus on Psalm 139. But right before we start and get into the teaching, I want to ask our participants if you guys were able, two things. You were willing and able to do the those listening prayer exercises, the guided prayer that we share with you guys. Were you able to do them? And if you did, is there anything that you would like to share about your experience of asking questions to God in prayer and see what God shared with you? Is there anybody who has a testimony to share about that?
I do. I was just sharing it with Trish in our small group time that it's been very meaningful for me. It just came at the right time and made me realize how much I was just talking to God and not really giving space to listen. And so I immediately just began carving out time every day just to listen. And I took your advice and had a journal before me, which I have found very helpful to use that to just note things when I'm sensing them from the Spirit. And it's just been very meaningful and has kept me in a place of being before the Lord. So thank you for providing this for us.
Our pleasure. It's a blessing. I know I love that you say that it's been very meaningful. And I know it's meaningful because, as you said, we present ourselves to God and we just talk, and deliver these long monologues. And unfortunately, many times for us as Christians, those long monologues become wishful thinking. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus encourages us to bring our request, and he says, present your request for God. But how beautiful when we can actually say, okay, Father, but here I am. What do you have to tell me in prayer and through prayer or through these things? And then we start receiving from God. And we start hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our spirits, then it's a blessing. So I want to ask you a question, because when we talk about listening prayer, I'm not talking about listening to a voice that I'm hearing in my ears the way that you are hearing my voice right now. When we talk about listening prayer, we talk about, as you said, sensing what the Holy Spirit is telling us. So is there anything that you want to share about that experience? Meaning, how does it, when you are hearing from God, when you are receiving from God, what does that cause in your life? And let me ask you a more pinpoint question. Did you experience any of the fruits of the Spirit, as defined in Galatians, as you were hearing from God? Meaning love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If I was to ask you, as you were sensing that you were receiving from God, as the Holy Spirit was talking to you, which one of those 9 fruits of the Spirit do you recognize that you were experiencing as a result of receiving from God?
I think I would say primarily peace, mm-hmm. just the peace of hearing from God. But it depends, because he's had different, I've sensed different things from him. Mm-hmm. And so there have been times when it brought great joy.
Yes.
You know, because it was that kind of word. Mm-hmm. I probably could go through each one of the fruit of the Spirit and see how that was there.
And I ask this question because inevitably two things. When I'm in the presence of the Lord and the Lord is sharing himself with me through his Spirit, then I am experiencing God, and in a very tangible way of experiencing God is experiencing him through the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Holy Spirit causes. As God is flowing, he brings those things. And as you said, sometimes he may bring so many of them. Sometimes it may be specifically, I feel loved. I feel joy as I am receiving it. It's exciting. I feel peace as the Lord is talking to me. And, you know, even when the Lord is convicting me of sin as he's talking to me, even that, he does it in love. That brings joy as a result of our receiving from him, confessing, repenting. Then that brings peace. You know, so it's beautiful. Anyway, well, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. Is there anything else, any specifics or anything else that you guys will want to share, anything that you got? Again, I know that your time with God is private and personal, but is there anything that you guys want to share, any specifics that you want to share? Again, no pressure, just asking.
I'll just mention one thing that I had mentioned to Trish. This in some ways was a hard week for my wife and me, because we got hit with we have a lot of plumbing issues in our house, and we have car trouble, and it was kind of like, you know, hit with a lot of things that that are very costly and problematic. But this helped. The listening prayer just helped me stay in a place of giving all my burdens to the Lord and sensing his peace in that, and that he I could entrust it all to him. And so that was very good, because I felt I definitely had the need this week.
Thank you. Well, wonderful. I want to share a quick testimony, and I'm going to share a specific testimony that happened exactly a year ago. And this is my prayer journal. You mentioned, so this is my prayer journal. So it's dated, and I'm looking here specifically at Wednesday, May 29, which it's basically 1 year ago, a year and 15 days. And then this, at the very end of our listening prayer Bible study that we teach, normally the last 2 weeks, those 2 weeks are just pure prayer. we just get together and we listen to what the Lord has to tell us in all sorts of ways or whatever he has to say. And this particular day, May 29, as I was listening to God, this is what God told me, and I'm going to just read it. It says, "I love you, Omar, my son. I want you to abide in me. In abiding in me, I will give you more materials that I want you to teach to the men and women that you minister to. I will reveal all these things to you through abiding in me." Next, he told me, "I want to talk to you about Guadalajara." Guadalajara is a state in the country of Mexico. And I said to that, "Father, what do you want to tell me?" So see, here I'm engaging, hearing the God is talking. I'm asking questions about what he's talking about. So I said, "Father, what do you want to tell me?" He said, "I want you to go for the month of July. I want you to go with your family. Drive. Stay at Myra's." Myra is a customer of mine. So stay at Myra's. "Teach listening prayer in Spanish. Teach men and women, couples, and teach men only at their offices. Love your wife and your children. Minister to people. Help set up for El Plan Maestro in Guadalajara." El Plan Maestro is a Christian curriculum. In English, it's the master's program. And he told me, "Share with Joey, David, and the Board of Truth of Life." So these are two men that he wanted me to share, and obviously with the Board of Truth of Life, because the board has to authorize for me to go and do all that stuff. "Continue your meetings via video conference." All the meetings that I was ministering, men, one-on-one, the Lord told me, "Continue your meetings via video conference. I will take care of all the details and provide you everything that you need. I am making it happen. This is for my glory, for your blessing, and the blessing of many. Share this with your wife. I love you, Omar. Love me by obeying my will." So I finished praying. I called my wife and I told her, "Joanna, would you please pray about Guadalajara?" That's all I told her. Because what my wife and I practice is that I go to God and I ask God what he has to tell me. He speaks to me. Joanna goes, prays to God herself. She receives her download from God, and then we come, and then we compare notes. That way, I don't influence her, and she doesn't influence me. But we first get our download from God, and then we share notes. So I just told her, "Hey, can you please pray asking God about Guadalajara?" Well, hang up, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, she calls me, and she says, "I have a sense that we need to go. I sense that God is telling me that we need to go." So I said, "Okay." So right there, I took a picture of this and texted it and sent it to her on a text message. Well, I told you, it was May 29. So from that moment on, we started getting ready to go to Guadalajara. Talk to my board, talk to these people. The board opened the doors. Talk to Myra, my cousin. She actually lent us a fully furnished house where we could go and stay. Anyway, God opened all the doors. Literally, he made it happen to the point that exactly a month later, I believe it was June 28, we started driving. My wife and I and our four boys, our four little ones, we started driving and we drove 2 days until we got to Guadalajara. We were there. The Lord opened so many venues for us to teach listening prayer. For the first time, I translated this teaching that he had given me in English. My native tongue is Spanish, but he gave me the teaching in English. I translated it into Spanish, taught it at different churches, at different places, taught at home with different groups from people from different churches. And the Lord just opened so many venues for us to go and teach. It was amazing. We ended up even doing a radio program in two radio programs, teaching listening prayer, so two recordings in Spanish. Then other churches called us to give our testimonies. So we went and gave our testimony. After they heard it, they called us again to go and give it again. But now they actually advertised it. Probably the first time they were like, okay, let's sense this. What is this about? Anyway, so it was an exciting month. So we were exactly the entire there. We were there exactly the entire month of July, and it was just beautiful. And this is just one of many ways in which God has talked to us. So God is eager to share his plans with us. He is eager. The Bible says, I have plans to prosper you and to bless you and to give you a future and a hope. And we know, as we learned in our very first teaching, everything is about me. It is for my sake. It is for my glory, God says. It is not about you, Omar. It is about me. But I do have plans to prosper you, give you blessings and a future. And I want to reveal those plans to you so I, God, can receive glory. You can be blessed. The body of Christ can be blessed. And those around you, even the non-believers, obviously, can be blessed. So I share this just as a one of many. This is my prayer journal. So, I mean, I can take you through. I'm just going to flip through. And I get here to December 11, 2018. I'm going to move forward. And I get here to, it was a long day, Tuesday, September 17th, you know? So anyway, this is 2019. So just to say here, this little book is priceless, you know? It's my communication with God, and it's beautiful to see how God speaks. Anyway. Sorry, we have taken a lot of time sharing this, but it is important that we land these concepts and these teachings and we show them in practical ways, because our God is a practical God. He, you know, the spiritual realm, he materializes so we can experience it here. And anyway, so let's get into the teaching. I'm going to move very quickly through the first couple of slides, which are just our goals. I'm going to give you a quick reminder. The main goals of this class is, number one, develop an increased intimacy and growth with our Father God. More love. Examination of prayer and listening prayer principles in the Bible. Practicing listening prayer, experiencing a fruitful Christian life by obeying God's will, and developing a prayer journal, as you guys are already doing. Then I already said that today we are in the third of four teachings. The first one that we had was God does it all. The second one, we have the mind of Christ. The third one today, spiritual cleansing from God, desiring spiritual cleansing from God. And it's focused on Psalm 139. And next week, we're going to look at abiding in Christ based on John chapter 15. Well, let me say a prayer so we can dive in here. Father, I pray, my Lord, that you draw us to Jesus. And I pray that you teach us, Father. Father, I pray that you cleanse us and make us holy, so we may be useful instruments of God in your hands, my Lord, ready to do the good works that you prepare in advance for us to do, my Lord. Father, we invite you to teach us today. Father, silence our carnal minds. Turn on in us the mind of Christ, my Lord. Father, give us revelation of your word and speak to our hearts today for your glory, our blessing, and the blessing of the body of Christ, and the blessing of this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me mention just a very quick review. Again, this is our third teaching today, but our first two doctrinal precepts, as we call them, have to do with renewing our mind. And these are the first principle, that God does it all, and the second principle, that we have the mind of Christ. And again, that focuses on the renewal of our mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then you will be able to understand God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our second two doctrinal precepts that we teach in listening prayer have to do with the renewal of our heart. And today we're focusing on being spiritually clean verse on Psalm 139. We're going to focus specifically in verses 23 and 24. And then the second part of experiencing the renewal of our heart is abiding in Christ, abiding in Jesus, which is based in John chapter 15. We're going to see that next week. Well, let's jump into our agenda for today. And I'm going to ask you to be interactive with me here. All of us who are present here, be interactive with me, because I want to ask you first this question. What do we mean by being spiritually clean? What comes to your mind when we talk about let's be spiritually clean? What's there?
For me, I think about the blood of Christ cleansing us spiritually, but I also think about healing and wholeness.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. Thank you. Anything else?
You know, what I will say is I am aware that as soon as I read that, my mind goes to moral things, and there's a bit of a, you know, okay, those are, you know, the light and, you know, the kind of moralistic things. And as I allow myself to stay there, I think I go very close to what Trish, you were saying, you know, wholeness. Wholeness would be the word that I would use.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to continue asking more questions. I'm going to move on. So first here, specifically in this context of listening prayer, as we talk about being spiritually clean, number one, we are not talking about being perfect, okay? But a real true desire to be like Christ. So basically to sin less. Mm-hmm. Not to be sinless, because sin is always present, but to sin less. And sin being the exception in my life, not the modus vivendi of my life. Then we know that sin is a terrible wound, okay? Sin is also a heavy burden. Sin causes us to have a debt, and then also lead us to death. Mm-hmm. So sin is really a terrible thing. It's not a joke. And also, when we are spiritually clean, then we become usable. Again, when I am spiritually clean, I actually become usable to the Lord. Now, we know that God can use anybody at any time. We see that in the Bible. But basically, am I being like Jonah or am I being like Abraham? You know, am I being a man of faith saying, Father, here I am. What do you want to do? Let's go. Come, my Lord. Or am I being a man who is resisting? Who is resisting the Lord? Let's go to our next question for today. So what happens if we are not clean? Tell me, beyond what we have written here in the screen, I want to hear from you. What happens when we are not clean? What do you know that occurs when we are not clean, when we're not spiritually clean? The very first thing that comes to my mind is separation. Like, if I'm not spiritually clean, it's because there is sin, and that sin separates me from Jesus. That doesn't mean that I'm losing my salvation, but that sin is creating a gap, a separation between God and I. Therefore, I have to repent, and the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive our sins if we confess them and we repent. And that brings me back into restoration. But anything else, what happens? What do you think in terms of what happens when we are not clean?
The first thing that came to me was that I'm not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't, there's, you know, I can take each one, but things feel out of control. There's the lack of peace. Lack of joy. I mean, go through the, to me, for me, all the fruit of the Spirit are one, not just separate fruits. There's a wholeness there.
It's wholeness, exactly.
And wholeness. So back to the wholeness.
Yeah, normally one leads to the other. They are so intertwined. Yeah. Well, here, we know that sin hinders the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which obviously and naturally impairs our ability to hear from God. So being spiritually clean is going to give me the ability of having a perfect, clean contact with God. And let me give you this example. All of us, at one point in our life, we either have seen somebody or we have done it to ourselves. Like sometimes there is this perfectly clean glass, either window or door. And have you seen anybody going and running into the window, running into the door? Why did that happen? You can say, well, they were not paying attention. But beyond that, it's because that glass was so pristine clean that you could not even see that it was there. Okay? And that's basically how our relationship with God is. When our relationship with God is pure, when there is no sin, then I can see perfectly through. I have a very clear access to God, and I can receive very clearly without interference what God is trying to tell me. But every single time that I sin, it's like if I grab a just moth from the ground and I throw it to the window. And I grab some moth, throw it to the window, and there is some moth. And I grab some, and I sin some more, and there it is. And as I continue sinning, I keep covering that glass until I cannot see anything. And the more I sin, the thicker that mud gets, and the darker my life gets, and the less light it comes. And the more impediments I have, or the more impaired I get to hear and discern God's voice. The Bible is clear when it says the unrighteous person goes through life stumbling, and he or she does not even know what he stumbles with. Why? Because I am so blind, I cannot see. Now, when I confess my sin, and when Jesus comes and wants to cleanse me and wash me, because that is his desire, it's like if Jesus gets the power washer, and he goes, and he starts power washing that glass and that window spiritually. And it gets perfectly pristine to the point that there is nothing there that interferes or impairs my ability to receive from God. And as we engage in listening prayer, a huge part of it is our holiness, our sanctity, that cleansing, that spiritual cleansing that God wants to do with us. We know that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. And here in the screen, we have some specific Bible verses that talk about that. We know that the Holy Spirit can be lied to and obviously disobeyed. But how can we get clean ultimately? And let me tell you, would you be surprised if I tell you, or if I refer you back to our very first principle, God does it all. That even in the spiritual cleansing, God does it all. God is the one. God is way more interested in cleansing you and washing you than you are in being clean. So God does it all. And we will see how, okay? So I invite you just to say a prayer inside of you to God, asking God that he may speak to you today through Psalm 139. So just ask the Lord to do that, and let's jump into Psalm 139. We're going to move quickly through it because we don't have much time, but we're going to move quickly through it so we can get what God wants to tell us. Okay, verses 1 through 5. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, before Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain. So let me tell you here, the very first thing, an obvious thing that we see in this verse is that God knows it all. That means that God is omniscient. We talk about the omniscience of God. God knows it all. And God knows everything about me. When we talk about the omniscience of God, we tend to think of the universe. And yes, God knows it, everything out there. Well, here I want you to see how much God knows you intricately. You. We know that it is not about me, but God is all about me. But it is not about me. Does that make sense? It's not about me, but God is all about me. Okay, now, so God is omniscient. And I want you to pay attention to the care that God has placed over you. I want you to look at verse 5, and I invite you with your hands to show me how verse 5 looks or what verse 5 says. Do it with your hands, please, and show us here how it looks. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Can you picture that? This is God, and God hems you in, behind and before, and he lays your hand upon you. So he hems me in, behind and before, and lays his hand upon me. And it's like God brings me here to his heart, and he's like here. And it's like I picture him like having me right here, and he brings me close to him, and then he covers me with his wings. And then I am there, and let me ask you, if God has me there, who can get in if I am like that in the hands of God? Or can I get out? Or can anything attack me? All right. So I want you to see how God carries you. We never pay attention to these kind of things. But I want you to see how the Lord carries you. Okay. So God knows it all. And God knows it all about me and about you. Keep that in mind as we keep thinking on our listening prayer. Okay. Let's move to our next slide, please. Let's focus now on verses 7 to 12. And here up front, I'm going to say, God talks about his omnipresence here. We're going to see in a moment. So in the first set, we saw God omniscience, that he knows it all. Now we're going to see God omnipresence, how he's everywhere, among other things. Where shall I go from your spirit? Which spirit are we talking about? The Holy Spirit, capital S, the spirit of the living God. Where shall I go from your spirit? And remember, we believe that King David is speaking here. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The right hand of God is always out. A picture of Jesus. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. So I want you to pay attention here at how God is involved with me and in my life. The depth of God's involvement in my life. God is always with me. There is no place that I can flee away from the Holy Spirit. Where shall I flee from your presence? Even in the midst of my darkest sin, Jesus is right there present. And this is a little bit eye-opening because I forget that even in the midst of my darkest thoughts or my nastiest sin, Jesus is right there. And this helps me to be aware of the presence of God. So, Father, keep me aware of your presence. Cause me to be aware of your presence. So, let me ask you this. Is there anything ugly enough or bad enough that I can do so God will depart from me? Or God will leave? I mean, is there sin too dark for God to say, oh, okay, I will not deal with that? Biblically speaking, the only thing that we know that talks in those terms is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay? But there is no darkness that is too dark for my Lord. There is nothing that has happened in my life that is too dark for God to bring his light and overcome the darkness. And when we confess our sins, basically what we're doing, and this is a principle that I believe I learned in faith walking, bringing things from the hidden into the private, from the darkness into the light. And this is transformational. That is confession. Now, Jesus is light. And the light, the Bible says, dissipates the darkness. But Satan is darkness. And Satan's playground is the darkness. So whatever I keep in darkness, that's where I give free range for Satan to play in my life. But the moment that I bring things to the light, to the private, in that moment, the light dissipates the darkness. And Jesus is in the business of dissipating darkness in my life. So how important it is to confess and to speak things up. You know, I know that I confess to Jesus. But also, the Bible is clear when we were in the Bible, confess your sins to one another. Because there is healing in that. And in that context, the Bible is talking about this physical healing. But obviously, confession brings spiritual healing, emotional healing. I mean, the Lord is all about healing and transformation. So see, pay attention here how eager the Lord is to reveal things and clean things in our life. Now, remember this. When the Lord reveals anything in my life, it's because he's ready to deal with it. God is a God who, he doesn't reveal things just to tell me, see, here is your sin, and then he rubs it on my face. And now deal with it. Now, the moment that God reveals something is because he's ready to take care of it. That's why he's revealing things. He's bringing things to the light because he wants to dissipate those darknesses. So keep that in mind. Okay, let's move to the next section. Verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. So here we see clearly how God values us individually, how he saw intricately connected to our lives. We see that the Bible says here that we are fearfully made. Basically, we are made with excellence, with such a, we are a respectful work of God. Mm-hmm. And I love that here we read, my soul knows it very well. I am very aware of it. I am keenly aware of it. I know that I am such a wonderful creation of God. And you know what? I find a lot of people who struggle so much with this. And I even remember a season in my life when I would look at myself in the mirror and I wouldn't like what I saw. Why? Because really, everything that was inside of me, because physically, I think that I looked better than what I'm looking today. You know, I was younger and prettier, or more handsome if you want, you know. But I was looking at the mirror and I didn't like what I saw because I didn't like the man that I saw. Mm-hmm. But God is here saying, hey, I mean, everything that is inside of you, your whole person, I made you. I made you. And I do have plans for everything that is inside of you. And my plans are to prosper you. Think about all these plans that God has for inside of me and you, my inner person. I have plans to prosper you and to bless you and to give you a future and a hope in your inner person, in your inner man, in your inner woman, in your inner being, in your soul, in your spirit. And my soul knows that very well. So I can be as hopeful as I can be because of what the Lord is ready to do. And all this has to do with the spiritual cleansing that God has to do and wants to do in my life. So let's move to the next. I know that we're flying through this passage. There is so much more to share here. So here is one of the central points of our teaching today. This and what is next. But here it is. Remember, King David is saying, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Do you remember what we learned last class under the truth that we have the mind of Christ? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe verse 12 and 13. Who knows? Nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But we have received His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we may know the things that He chooses to reveal to us. Okay? And here, King David is saying, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God? He's talking about the thoughts of God. And if he knows the thoughts of God, how does he know the thoughts of God? And by the way, hey, this is Old Testament. This is not New Testament. So where's the Holy Spirit here? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Tomorrow. The Spirit of the living God has been around us since we read Genesis 1 in the creation, right? Or John chapter 1. In the beginning, there was a word, and the word was with God, etc., etc., etc. But we see here that King David is saying, how precious to me are your thoughts. Notice how he's talking about in plural. How vast is the sum of them. If I was to count your thoughts, those that I know, they are more than the sand. I mean, I awake and I'm still with you. Like I start counting, I fall asleep, I awake and I keep counting. So here, how precious to me are your thoughts? So let me ask you, how often or how aware are you of the thoughts of God? And in our listening prayer, that's exactly what we dwell in. Here I am, my Lord, what do you want to say? In abiding in Christ, I get to abide in the mind of Christ. So, does this change the focus of our prayer? When I know that I know and I can know the thoughts of God as the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. And do I get that revelation as I am talking or as I am listening? And Saul was talking about that earlier today, right? As I practice listening, how much am I receiving from God? So how much have you received from God? Or how much have you missed from God? And that's a question for myself. How much am I receiving from God or how much am I missing with God? Let's move to our next section of the passage. Well, actually, these verses 19 to 22, we're just going to skip over them right now because this requires another teaching right now. I'm going to read them, but I'm going to just jump over them, okay? We're going to move to the next one. Oh, that you will slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. And the only thing that I want to say about this, think of who is your main enemy. Think about the devil, Satan, and his demon armies, okay? Let's move on. Here is the central part of our teaching today. Verses 23 and 24. I told you at the beginning, Have you ever considered that God does it all, even when it comes about your spiritual cleansing? So look at this prayer from David. Literally, David here is praying, and listen what he's saying. You search me, O God, and you know my heart. You, God, try me, and you know my thoughts. You, Father, see if there is any grievous ways in me, and you lead me in the way everlasting. So basically, David is saying, he's coming, and he's saying, you search me. You see if there is anything in me that is displeasing to you, and you lead me in the way that pleases you. Who is doing everything in this prayer? That's a real question. Who is doing everything in this prayer? God.
God, yeah.
What is David doing in this prayer?
Just asking.
Asking. And I believe he's asking from his heart. Because the Bible does says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It does not say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here, the one thing that David is doing and teaching us to do is ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Father, will you come and you search me? See all the things that are in my life that you do not like and lead all the areas of my life in the way that you want them to be, the way that you like them. So God does it all. But how much do I try to clean myself and wash myself? If I could do that, I didn't need Jesus. But unfortunately, in my activist Christian life, I have been taught that I better get my act together and I better work hard at it. When it's like, seriously? That's what Jesus is there for. One of the many wonderful things. And well, let me ask you this other question. Does this prayer on verses 23 and 24, does this sound like a monologue? Or does this sound like an interactive prayer? Obviously, you search me, God. You see what is there that is displeasing to you. Obviously, you're going to reveal those things to me. And you lead me in the way that pleases you. Show me how and what is in me to do. Now, I want to invite you to do this. As you can see, the me, my, when it's talking about myself, substitute each one of those parts of me, I, with different things in your life. Let's just talk about marriage. Father, search my marriage. See if there is anything in my marriage that you do not like. And lead my marriage to be the marriage that pleases you. What about my working life and my job? Father, search my work and my job. See the way I'm working. See if there is anything that I'm doing in my work or in my job that you do not like. And lead me to work in the way that pleases you. What about me being a father? Father, search my fatherhood. See if I am being the father that you want me to be. And lead me to be the father that you designed me to be. What about my prayer life? Father, examine my prayer life. See if I am praying in a way that is not pleasing to you. And teach me and lead me to pray the way that pleases you. Interesting that Jesus says, whatever you pray according to my will, it will be given. And do you think that Jesus just wants to say, hey, pray, 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 and figure out. And hopefully, hit and there, you're going to hit and miss praying according to my will, and suddenly your prayers are going to be answered. But most of the time, you're going to miss it. I am the Lord, by the way. Of course not. He says, hey, I so want you to pray according to my will. I want to make my will known to you because I want to give you everything that you pray. I do not want you to waste your time praying with vain repetitions. I have taught you that. I want you to receive everything that I have in store for my glory, for your blessing, for the blessing of the body of Christ and those around me. Anyway, too much teaching. we do have a homework, and I'm going to turn to Mike to Marcos right now, and let him lead because we have reached our time limit for today, I believe. But Marcos, where are we here?
Yeah, thank you, Omar. Yeah, it has been very rich. I enjoy the conversation and interaction. So, yeah, we are at time. So probably is wise for me to be respectful. And probably the next time what we can do is we can start also with some dialogue and get Mark. I would like to just encourage us to do the homework. You know, we thank you for the testimony. It's very helpful to see and to listen to your how the Lord speaks to you. And right, there's a probably a little bit of a different way in he approaches to me or to you or to Trish. But it's so great to have this dialogue and to believe that this is prayer, right? This is not just my thoughts that are like that. So would you tell us the homework, Omar?
Okay, so Marcos is going to share with you 12 different versions of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And these are just 12 different versions that you can find in Bible Gateway or just different versions of the Bible. All of them legit, don't worry. And the idea is to pray through all those 12 different versions because each one of them say things different. For example, one of them will say, Father, examine me and see if there are idols in my life and cleanse me from them. So when I use the word idols, instead of just search me and see what is displeasing to you, then that brings a different perspective. So just pray through all those 12 versions, and it's going to make your prayer time super rich, and listen what the Lord has to tell you, write it down, and focus on those things. And welcome to the most wonderful life as the Lord cleans you and you experience living in the way that he wants you to be. He wants you to be an instrument of God in his hands so he can use you. So let him clean you so he can come and grab you and use you and flow through you. That's basically it.
Excellent. Thank you. So I will send you an email with that passage, and I'm going to add that to the last slide of the slides that are going to be available in the website with the podcast. So somebody is dying to say something before we bless each other. So Trish, okay, thank you, Omar. Let me read over us this prayer and let you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, I'm looking through the eyes.